Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning for our services. It's nice to see so many familiar faces who are part of our extended family, people that maybe have been part of this church before but have moved, and family members. It's wonderful to have you all with us this morning. We are talking about going into all the world. That is our conversation for the next 12 weeks. We're looking at what does it mean to be a missional church. Last week we talked about the church being incarnate, which is a Latin word meaning in the flesh. And we looked at the need to be up close and personal in our neighborhoods with those around us, just like Jesus was up close and personal with the people that he spoke to and taught to. Just like Jesus came as God into this world as a living and breathing person, and he shared the good news of life with all of those around him. And we were encouraged to discover ways in which we could be up close and personal in our neighborhood around the church and in the community of West Liberty. And then we stepped outside of the church building and noticed that the barn next door was engulfed in flames, which was not planned as an illustration. But quickly, members of our church rushed over there. Many went into the barn to let the animals out, farmers and others. We are fortunate to have a pretty significant number of volunteer firemen who went over and got involved and got trucks. We had others that went and picked up uniforms and others that filled up water and others that made sandwiches and many, many who prayed, among other things. And this event was tragic. But it is a tangible reminder of our responsibility as a church to our neighbors and to the neighborhood for the sake of Jesus Christ. Later on in the week, I heard several stories of members of our church bringing flowers and taking a meal over to people who in our community who have been sick and are sick. And I imagine there are many more of you who have gotten up close and personal with your neighbors for the sake of the gospel. And to me, this is really exciting. It's exciting to see the gospel played out through the church to the neighborhoods around us, that we can be Jesus incarnate in the flesh to this community. So today we're going to talk about another Latin word that's having an immense impact on the life of the church. Dick already introduced it to us. It is the Missio Dei. And the Missio Dei, translated simply, means the mission of God. But I like the word Missio Dei as I believe Lara pointed out in our Sunday school class. When we hear the word mission, we often get this very narrow picture of what it means to do missions. But when we think of Missio Dei, the mission of God, it calls us back to what was God's original mission. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. I believe that as a church, we are called to participate in the mission of God. And in fact, I'm going to claim this morning that that is our primary, our overriding purpose as a people, to be an active agent in fulfilling this mission. So in order to support my claim, we're going to explore three things. First, what is the Missio Dei? Second, why is this different than what we're doing already? And third, two foundational shifts that we need to undertake in order to join in this Missio Dei. So first, what is the Missio Dei? I think the mission of God can be summed up in three movements. The first movement is purpose, that God sent his Son to seek and save the lost. The second movement is advocate, that God sent the Holy Spirit to remind us of everything that Jesus has taught as our advocate. And third is follower, that God sends us to seek and save the lost. These are three movements. But how do I get this? Where do I get this from? Well, the book of John, which our scripture passage comes from today, one of my favorite books, is a poetic gospel account. It is pure poetry telling about the life and journey and purpose of Jesus. And throughout the book, the author outlines this Missio Dei process of purpose, advocate, and follower. So first, we start with God's purpose in John 3, 16, and 17. The purpose for sending Jesus was simply to seek and save the lost. In this passage, Jesus shares God's heart with us, that He desires our redemption from sin and our salvation from the trappings of this world. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. This is God's purpose, to save the world through Jesus. And then John 5:24, Jesus again reminds us that in order to receive this salvation, we must first believe in the God who loves us so much to send this Son. John 5:24, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. God knows, though, that even though we know these are truths, we are a hard-hearted people. We are deaf-eared people. And though we may know in our mind that the gospel of Jesus' life, I think so easily we can get distracted from this and we can forget these things. So in the second movement of the Missio Dei, God sends to us the Holy Spirit as our advocate to dwell with us and in us as a reminder of Jesus' saving grace. John 14:26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And then in John 16:17, Jesus comforts His disciples that even though He is leaving, the Advocate will be sent to be present with them in His place. John 16:7, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send Him to you." Now some of you may be asking, what is an advocate? Which is a fair question. And this is again from a Latin term, and it simply is a legal witness. Today, when we think of advocates, we think of somebody who goes to the court to plea on behalf of a person or to plea on behalf of a cause. I think about Ryan Pratt in Children's Services, and he serves often as an advocate for the children, or Lara at Adriel, and she serves as an advocate for the youth there. So the Spirit, then, as our advocate, serves as a witness on behalf of us to God, reminding us of the covenant that we made with God. The covenant being, of course, another legal term, meaning this promise that we made that in believing Jesus, we would in return receive eternal life, but we would also be required to follow Jesus and to live like Jesus. And so, how do we respond to the presence and prompting of this advocate? Well, this is the third movement, that we have become followers. God sends us now to seek and save the lost. Twice in John, Jesus asserts to His disciples that it is no accident that they witnessed the sending of Jesus into the world, because now they are being called to emulate or to follow after His work. In John 17:18, Jesus praying for His disciples, He says, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." And then in John 20:21, where Jesus appears to His disciples after His death, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." According to the Missio Dei, the church is not simply a consumer of God's grace, but we are now peddlers of His grace. We are selling it wholesale to the world around us. In the same way that Jesus offered grace and love to those He came in contact with, the church is now being the hands and feet of Jesus. So the Missio Dei can be summed up in these three movements. Purpose: God sent Jesus into this world to seek and save the lost. Advocate: God sends the Holy Spirit to us to remind us of all these things that Jesus has taught. And follower: God is sending us into the world to seek and save the lost. So the first question we answered is, what is the Missio Dei? The second is, why is the Missio Dei any different from what we have experienced traditionally as a church? If the Missio Dei, the mission of God, is God's primary purpose here in the world, then the church exists only to fulfill that purpose. I want you to think about that for a second. The mission of God does not exist for the church. The church exists for the mission of God. And this is an important distinction to make. The reality is, God doesn't need any of us to complete His mission. He is perfectly sufficient on His own, but He has chosen us to participate in it. The Missio Dei then takes precedence over the church. Missiologist David Bosch, and I have this included in your outline, stated that it's not so much that God has a mission for His church in the world, that God has a church for His mission in the world. Therefore, missions is not just another program that we do on the long list of programs that we do as a church. Missions is who we are, because it is who God has called us to be. Here's another way to think about it. Thoman's IGA exists for the sole purpose of selling groceries into our community. That is its primary purpose. It's not a building that also happens to sell groceries sometimes when it thinks about it, but does other things as well. If it didn't sell groceries, it wouldn't exist. And I think that is the traditional way that we think about the church, that the church is a building and a group of people that exists that also just happens to do missions at times. But that is not the Missio Dei. Brad Briscoe and Lance Ford, who wrote the book that we're basing this sermon series out of, said that mission is not the invention, responsibility, or program of the church. Instead, it flows directly from the character and purposes of a missionary God. We are missional as a church. We exist as a church solely for the purpose of mission. The mission does not exist for us. If Oak Grove hopes to live into this Missio Dei, we need to reassess our assumptions about how mission figures into our lives as a people. And so in order to engage in this Missio Dei, there are two foundational shifts that we need to take to join God's purpose. This is the third point. The first shift is a functional shift. What is the function of our congregation? What is it? What are we here for? What has God designed us for? If God has designed us to be missional, then that is our primary purpose. Missions is not just a program, it is who we are. So how does this affect the way that we exist as a church? As we continue to consider how we are the presence of Jesus in the neighborhoods around us, the question we should be asking is not what missional programs can we be adding, but how can we allow our DNA to be transformed so that everything we are and do is missional? Briscoe and Ford asked this question: what is the organizing principle of your church? Basically, what do we as a congregation organize around? Is it worship? Is that where everything flows out of? Is it education? Is it VBS? Is it community? Is it fellowship? Is it committee meetings? Sometimes it feels like committee meetings. While all of these things are good, and they're important, and we shouldn't eliminate them, they alone are not the purpose of why we gather as the people of God. We need to instead view everything that we do at Oak Grove through the lens of mission. How does our worship exist as a fulfillment and extension of our mission? How does our education exist as a fulfillment and extension of our mission? So that is the first shift, our functional shift. The second is our locational shift. And the question we have to ask for this is, where is the mission of God happening? In the old model, missions would happen either in a foreign country or it would happen right here in the church. We would be this sort of outpost or a beacon of light for everybody to stream to. But if the church is God's missionary to the world, then the missions must happen wherever we see God at work in our neighborhoods. So the Missio Dei is God's mission to the world, to seek and save the lost, that He gave to the church through the life and example of Jesus Christ. That is the Missio Dei. And He gave us the Advocate, the Spirit, to remind us of this mission. And He has called us, just like He sent Jesus, to be sent out to wherever we happen to be to share the gospel or good news of life. And so we as a church need to reassess the way we approach missions and move away from this traditional idea that missions are another program or that people are expected to come to us. And we need to make these two shifts, these foundational shifts, functionality, that our purpose is mission and that everything we do needs to flow out of that purpose. And location, the missions, it can happen in this building, but it does happen wherever God is working. So what do we do now? I want to suggest three things. First, as a church, we need to be alert to God, how God is moving all around us. Where are the places that we see God moving and working in Logan and Champaign counties? How about in the 5 miles surrounding our church or in the West Liberty community? Where are the places of darkness around us that we need to bring the light of Christ? Secondly, we need then to ask ourselves, how is God wanting to use me in this? We need to be vigilant for how God is working for His purposes, and at the same time always be wondering, how might God be calling me to use my gifts and my talents to impact this community with the Missio Dei? And then finally, after we notice how God is working and after we ask ourselves, what could I be doing? We simply need to act. We need to take that first step forward to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit in order to be the people that God has called us to be. Will you join God in His Missio Dei? Let's pray. Holy Father, we know that You have put us in the places we live, that we work, and that we play for the purpose of being light to those around us. God, we pray that You transform our minds and hearts into a DNA of mission, that we might, like Jesus, seek and save the lost. And as we go out this week, Lord, that You might present us opportunities to be Jesus, and that You might prompt us to allow ourselves to be used, to take that scary first step. Lord, that we might transform our community, that we might change the world for You, that Oak Grove might be Your extension out beyond these walls. Lord, I thank You for every person here today. I pray that You have spoken to their hearts in different ways and that we may go from here being deeper committed followers and disciples of You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite the worship team forward, and they're going to lead us into a response song.